Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 12. 2 Chronicles chapter 12. Got boosted up a little bit there. 2 Chronicles chapter 12. I'm going to begin reading in verse 13. Chronicles is a fascinating book. Actually, there are some codes to Chronicles that you need to understand. A lot of people call it the boring book of the Bible. It's got all the begats in it. But I'm not going to crack the code of Chronicles like I did the Da Vinci Codes. You guys remember that series that I preached on the Da Vinci Codes? Were you all here when I preached that? I preached three messages on the Da Vinci Codes. It's fiction, it's fiction, it's fiction. You remember those? Okay. It was very short. This is going to be a little longer sermon than those three. But Chronicles is a divine editorial of the history of God's people. And as you study Chronicles, the word chronicle just simply means that it accounts the events, it arranges them in order. And actually, if you start in 1 Chronicles, it begins with Adam and ends up with Nehemiah. 2 Chronicles, though, however, starts with the building of the Temple of Solomon and concludes with the decree by Cyrus to rebuild the temple. It goes from the building to the burning of the temple of Jerusalem. 2 Chronicles does. But in 2 Chronicles, there are a lot of wonderful, fascinating things. Of course, it's covering the same history or period of time as Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings. But Chronicles deals with it in a more statistical way. You might say Samuel and Kings deals with it in a more biographical way. Samuel and Kings, you find a lot more personal stuff, where Chronicles is more official. I'm going to begin reading in verse 13. Chronicles puts a great deal of emphasis upon the temple, where that Samuel and Kings puts a lot of emphasis upon the throne. So King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned. For Rehoboam was 140 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. And he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Now the acts of Rehoboam, first and last, are they not written in the book of Shema, the prophet, and of Iddo, the seer, concerning genealogies? And there were wars between Rehoboam and Jeroboam continually. And Rehoboam slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. And Abijah, his son, reigned in his stead. I don't know if you noticed or not, but what Chronicles does, and it gives us a summary of this man's life in one sentence. It simply says, and you can notice there in verse 14, that Rehoboam, this king, he did evil. He did evil in the sight of the Lord because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. And if you've ever read the book of Chronicles, and there's one thing that we can easily conclude from Chronicles, it has a unique way of abruptly giving us a conclusion to the matter, is that if a kingdom or a people, if they honor God, they will be at peace and have prosperity. But if they dishonor Him, if they are unfaithful to God, they will have adversity. Now that's one overall conclusion that you reach from studying the book of Chronicles. But in a more specific, in a more narrow way, when you start looking at Chronicles, you'll go through all these 20 kings that we find that reign in Judea, and their whole life is summed up in one of two sentences. They either did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, or they did that which was evil. Now, whether you realize it or not, one of these days, your life is going to be summed up in one of these two sentences. At the conclusion of your life, you either did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, or you did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. This sentence, here in the 14th verse, tells us that actually Rehoboam did evil in the sight of the Lord. And when you study this, I want you to notice the reason why he did evil. It's given to us in that particular passage of Scripture in verse 14. If this sentence actually sums up this man's life. Now, we read about many things that Rehoboam did. He wasn't that bad a fella. He wasn't as bad as Manasseh, who sacrificed his children to the god of Molech. I mean, he wasn't as bad as Ahab, who went off to idol gods and worshiped the gods of Baal. He wasn't as bad as those other kings. Actually, he wasn't as bad as the other kings of his day. Then why does the Bible say that he did evil? Why did he do this evil? Why was his life summed up as being stated as doing evil? Well, maybe it was revealed in the previous verse. Notice there in verse 13, it says, and his mother's name was Naamah. She was an Ammonitess. In other words, she was an idolatrous woman. Well, Spock would really like that, wouldn't he? Huh? A lot of people today, well, the reason that my life is the way it is because of my parents. Come on now. The world wants to bad. Well, I've had bad circumstances, or I've had bad situations. My mom was bad, or my dad was bad, and so I'm bad. People laying the blame on others. Reminds me of that comic strip about the little boy that came in with his report card, handed it to his dad, and had F, 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 F. His dad's eyes were as big as saucers, and the little boy says, Dad, do you think it's hereditary or environmental? We want to blame others. Even Israel, you can read in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel 18 and 3, they were blaming their fathers for their circumstances. And God declared, turn there to Ezekiel 18 and 3. The Lord says, as I live, this proverb, this mentality, this thinking that the reason you're the way you are is because of others is wrong. People, there is no reason why you don't have grace in your life and in your family. It's not your family's fault, it's your fault. It's not these bad circumstances or situations that you may have been raised up in. It's because you have not prepared your heart to seek the Lord. That's the cause. That's the reason. In Ezekiel chapter 18, the people were given the excuse. Notice there, turn there to Ezekiel 18, verse 3. He says this. He says, as I live, saith the Lord, ye shall not have occasion anymore to use this proverb in Israel. He said this. Why were they using this proverb? What was the proverb? Look in verse 2. Ezekiel 18 and verse 2. The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are on edge. The children's teeth are on edge because of the father's actions. Many times we want to blame the circumstance or the situation that we find ourselves in on others. We want to blame the school system. We want to blame our government. We want to blame our friends, or peer pressure. We want to blame others. My friend, if you do evil, it's because you did evil. And God says, you can't say that anymore. Don't blame other people for your circumstance or the sins that you commit. If you sin, you sin. Amen. If you don't find grace, it's because you refuse to have grace in your heart and in your life. He went a little further and he said, behold, all souls, verse 4, Ezekiel 18 and 4. He said, behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. In other words, God was saying that he will judge everyone according to their own deeds, not because they had ungodly parents. Amen. Well, so that's not the reason that his life was full of evil, that he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Yes, he may have had a bad mother, but what about his dad? His dad obviously didn't do the same thing that he did. His dad did seek the Lord. His dad did know the Lord. I mean, when he was called to the throne, what did Solomon do? Did he not pray and ask God for wisdom? Didn't God give him wisdom? But this man, Rehoboam, didn't do that. The Bible says that he did evil. Not because his mom was bad. Not because his dad didn't always follow the Lord or always do right. I'll tell you why he did evil. It's because what it says in verse 14, because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. What does that mean? Maybe this is a coded message. Maybe there's some kind of code in here. He did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. Thus his life was summed up with evil. In other words, the conclusion of his life was just a life of evil. I read about a young man that went to a wise man. It was a situation that happened in India. He went to this old sage for help and he asked him, he said, how do I find God? And the old man said, well, let's go down here to the river. So they went down to the river. They waded out into the river about neck deep, and the old man grabbed the young man by the neck and plunged him under. And he was fighting and he was screaming and for breath, and finally the old man let him up and water eased out of his mouth and he was about to choke and he was coughing. And he finally got to the bank and he said, why did you do that? He said, well, he said, what did, when you were underwater, what did you want more than anything else? And the young man said, I wanted air. He said, I wanted to breathe. That's what I wanted more than anything else. When you hold me underwater, I wanted to breathe. I was suffocating. And the old man replied, when you want God as much as you wanted air when you were under that water, you'll find God. When we talk about people seeking the Lord, when we talk about somebody preparing their heart to seek the Lord, there must be that desire, that want, that hunger, that craving to find God. And if that is not in your heart, the conclusion of your life, the summary of your life, no matter what kind of deeds you do, will be you did evil in the sight of the Lord. Obviously, this young man, at the early stages of his life, did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. That has to be what it means. His dad, Solomon, he did seek the Lord. You know, when we have those profound moments or those big things in our life that develop, we need to pray and seek the guidance of the Lord. We might say this about Solomon. I mean, this mother that he had was one of many women. That must have been a real circus to be part of that family, huh? Can you imagine? I can't even imagine. But the problem with our generation today is that we are failing to seek the Lord at those turning points of our lives. I think it's important that you pray and ask the Lord to direct you on who to marry. Amen. You listen to me, young people. You need guidance. You need direction. these big things in life. When you have a child, man, shouldn't you seek the Lord? Shouldn't you desire help from God? I remember when my son was born. When Aaron was born, I felt so, do you parents remember that? Where you felt so overwhelmed. You're like, how am I going to raise this child? How am I going to afford to pay the bills? How am I going to be able to give him the kind of right instruction and guidance? And I don't have the wisdom, the ability, the strength to do this. Didn't you seek the Lord and say, Lord, help me, bless me, make me a good parent? Did you have that preparedness of heart? This heart preparedness where you sought the Lord? Rehoboam didn't. I mean, the throne was available. The scepter was there. And he just reached up and he grabbed it. The throne, it was empty. He just sat down on it. You know, I'm king, I'm king. Never thought about having to pray or seek of the Lord or get counsel or guidance from the Lord. He did not do that. What generation does that remind you of? A caretaker at a museum saw a young girl sitting at the piano of Beethoven. Oh, she was playing rock and roll. Man, she was getting with it. Da, 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 da. And that caretaker said, you know, the great musician Petaskey was also seated at that same piano. And the young girl said, well, what did he play on the piano? Caretaker said he didn't play anything. He felt unworthy to play on Beethoven's piano. Don't you see the difference? Solomon, when he was called upon to be king over Israel, he felt overwhelmed. He sought the Lord. He got wisdom from God and help from God. He didn't feel like he was able. And yet Rehoboam just jumps at the occasion, sits at the throne, grabs the scepter, without any reverence or respect. His father, Solomon, said that to fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. To have that reverence and respect in the handling of the affairs of your life and handling of the circumstances of your life, you have reverence and respect for the Lord, and you want the Lord to help you and aid you and assist you at all those junctures of life. Do you really have that? Huh? Do you have that? The big difference between those that did that which was right and those that did that which was evil, those that did that which was right had a reverent fear and respect for the things of God and consulted the Lord and considered the Lord rather than just jumping into something without guidance and direction. Shouldn't we early in life? I mean, his own dad said that at the beginnings of our lives that we need to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. Ecclesiastes 12 and 1. And plainly, if we don't get God on board at the beginning of our lives can end up being a mess. And that's what happened to this boy. I mean, the kingdom was split. He did seek counsel. Oh, yeah. If you go back there, I mean, yes, he went up to, look in the 10th chapter of 2 Chronicles. He went up to Shechem. He went up to Shechem. He never did pray. He never did offer up any kind of sacrifice. He didn't get guidance or help from the Lord. He didn't even consider, didn't even think about getting some help or some instruction from the Lord. And I venture to say that many people that are under the sound of my voice today jump off into big things without ever consulting the Lord. And you're liable to end up at the conclusion of your life, the sum total of it being, he did that which was evil rather than doing that which was right. You know, Rehoboam thought he was doing the right thing. He did get counsel. He went up and he said, he asked the older men that advised his dad. He got counsel from his friends, the younger guys that were around him. You know, counsel from other people may be good at times, But there are junctures in our life, you better know the will of God for your life. And not take the advice of others. I know a lot of people, they take the advice of others rather than taking the advice of God. And if Rehoboam would have just simply listened to God, if he would have consulted God, if he would have sought the Lord would have blessed him. But he was in and out of messes. And his life was a mess. And you know me, you may start down a road. You may step off into something and it seems good enough. It seems well enough in doing it that way. And before you turn around, you're in a heap of trouble. Just like he was. I want to advise you. Before you make some monumental decision that affects your life, pray about it. When you have some major task that's before you, seek the will of the Lord in it. Amen. Get some guidance, some instruction, some leadership. I see people all the time jumping into things, never consulting the Lord. And people, we end up in trouble when we do that. You look at his life. He got off into many adventures. It's not that he did not respect the things of God. If you read here in the 11th chapter, a prophet was sent to him. Verse 3, notice there. He respected the things of God, but he never had it deep in his heart. He had religion. Oh yeah, he had religion. He had it, but it never had him. He held religion, but religion never got a hold of him. We have a lot of people like that today, don't we? They have a hold of religion, they have a hold of church, but they never have had religion get a hold of them. It wasn't deeply seated in their souls. If you're one of those this morning, you need to get saved. Amen. Listen, when you get saved, it's something that transforms and changes the inner core of your heart. When you get saved, you were at a prepared juncture. You were establishing. You set yourself to find the Lord, to seek the Lord, to be the Lord's. Amen? Not only just to be saved, but to crown Him as Lord of your life. A lot of people jump into religion and yet never take the first step, which is being born again. Finding forgiveness with the Lord. Rehoboam was a lot like that. You notice in these passages how that he had great prosperity there for a while. He had many for about 3 years. I mean, you read in the verse 1 of the 11th chapter. It says that when he came to Jerusalem, he gathered the whole house of Judah and Benjamin, 180,000 choice men. There was a great strength. And yet he was using those things wrongly. He started to go to war with Israel. A prophet of God was sent. And he respected this prophet of God. Read about that in verse 2. He was a man of God. And he was told not to go to war with his brethren. Not to fight them. He respected that. He listened to the preacher. But he never had a changed heart. See, not only does this preparedness require a diligence to seek the Lord, a diligence and a desire to want to find the Lord, a determination to have things changed where that your will must be overran by the will of God. But also, it refers to an inner change. I mean, a conscious change. You have a determination. You have a diligence. You have a desire. That's the preparedness that was missing from Rehoboam. But also you have not just a religion that's of the head, but a change that occurs in your heart. Rehoboam had head religion. I mean, he built up. Look up. He did great and wonderful things. Read on down in verse 13. Verse 11, verse 12 of the 11th chapter of 2 Chronicles. He built up all of these cities. He was busy. He had a nice house. He had a great business going. Things economically were wonderful for him, but his heart was not right in the sight of God. You know, we can look upon the surface and think things are good for people, but deep down in their soul, they're in misery. Rehoboam was like that. Notice, it says, in every city he put shields and spears. He built it up. In verse 13, the priests and the Levites that were in all of Israel, they were restored. See, he was restoring the religious things, the priests, the Levitical priesthood, the high places were torn down. There was strength, there was stability that came as a result in a religious way. But his totality of life is summed up as being a life of evil. He didn't trust the Lord with all of his heart. He leaned to his own understanding. The Bible teaches us that we must humble ourselves. I mean, the Bible says he was humble, but he wasn't humble to the place to where he surrendered. Notice, like in 2 Chronicles, I believe it's 11 and 6, it tells us, the 13th chapter. Over there in the 13th chapter, it tells us about his heart being humble before the Lord. Verse 7, it tells us that Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, when Rehoboam was young and tender-hearted, he had a degree of softness, but not to the degree that he surrendered. My friend, if you don't surrender yourself to the Lord, the conclusion of the matter for your life will be that you did evil in the sight of the Lord. If you don't seek the Lord and completely surrender, the conclusion of your life will be that you did evil. You may have supported a church. You may have been a member of a church. He was a member of a church, huh? He even supported the priesthood. He gave. He did good things. But the good deeds were not done with a right heart. Amen. You might say he just lacked the heart for it. Deep down, he just didn't have it. He didn't have what it takes. He wasn't like Paul in Romans 7 and 22. Paul said, I delight in the law of the Lord after the inward man. In other words, at the very core of me, there's something that God has placed there that gives me a desire, a want to serve the Lord. Amen? I tell you, this head religion is just not getting it done. We need a heart religion where at the very core of us, we are changed. And if you'll set yourself to find the Lord, to find that change that you know that you need deep down in your soul to be a servant of the Lord, because you can't change yourself. The Lord needs to change you. Amen? If you'll set yourself, do differently than what Rehoboam did, to seek the Lord, to find the Lord. If you'll seek the Lord with all your heart, you'll find Him. The Bible tells us that if we will seek Him with all of our heart, we can find Him. We can know Him. We can experience Him. Rehoboam didn't do that. He never did that. And the summary of his life was he did evil. Do you really want to know the truth? Then seek the truth. Amen. A few years ago, there was a man that came to me and he said, I want to know the truth. And I said, well, look, don't let me be the one to convince you of what's true. Take it to God. Huh? Amen? Yeah. I mean, consider what I've said. I've tried to tell you. I believe it's true. But don't take my word for it. You take it to God. You seek the Lord and say, Lord, I want to know the truth. Set yourself. Establish yourself. Prepare your heart to seek the truth of God and it will be shown you. Amen. He will reveal it to you. He'll give you a revealed knowledge that this is true. Amen. Amen. You can bank on that. You can stand on it. I want us to stand and sing.